But, you know, for the last couple of weeks, and you notice I've wore a shirt on purpose, Live by Faith, and then on the back it says, can everybody read that? Okay. The word says it, I believe it, that settles it. And so we've been talking about faith the last couple of weeks, and this may be the final week that we specifically talk about this subject. I wanted to, Kevin kind of touched on it here earlier, one of the verses that we had kind of like a key verse on our Wednesday night and on our Sunday morning was Psalm 20, verses 6 and 7. And this is in the NIV version, which they don't have yet, but we will. It says, "Now this I know." So I like those first words there. First four words, "Now this I know." Right now, this is what I know. This is what I believe. I can't be shaken by what's going to follow, what I'm about ready to read here. Now, this is what I know. I'm confident in what I know. The Lord gives victory to His anointed. Any anointed people in the room? Well, guess what? You have victory. He's given us, we have a promise here. "Now, this I know. The Lord gives victory to His anointed." What are you going through? What have you been through? And He's brought you through. He gave you victory. I mean, sometimes in the midst of it, when you're going through it, it doesn't seem like victory is around the corner anywhere soon. But you know what? We continue to stand. We continue to stand on the Word. We continue to stand on His promise. We don't give up. No matter what comes our way, no matter what anybody says about us, no matter what anybody speaks against us, we don't give up. We keep standing. We keep standing. We keep standing. Because He said that now, this I know, the Lord gives His anointed the victory. You have victory. No matter what it is that you're going through, find out what the Word of God has to say about it. Now, will you have victory if you try to grunt it out? I've talked about it before. I'm going to grunt it out. No, you can grunt all you want. You won't have victory. You can keep going down that same garbage hole that you've been going down. Or you can turn to the Lord. We've been talking about this when it comes to faith, things that we're going through. Who do you turn to first? Do you turn to people? Do you turn to a book? Do you turn to your favorite preacher? Do you turn on TBN? Do you turn on Rhema Bible Church? Do you turn on all these different things? Or do you turn to the Lord? Well, what's it say here? "He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with his victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and horses. Some trust in people. Some trust in books. Some trust in everything that they can think of before turning to God. Some trust in those people. But his anointed, no, you anointed people, you don't turn to chariots, you don't turn to horses, you don't turn to books, you don't turn to your favorite TV preacher. Will he use those things at times? Sure he will, but that's not who you turn to. So who do you turn to? It says here, "But we trust in the name of the Lord our God." We trust the anointed people, the people who have faith, people who are children of God. We trust in the Lord our God. Oh boy, I feel like I could shout for a minute here. I feel like y'all could shout here just for a minute here. When you turn to the Lord your God, is He your God? When you turn to the Lord your God, you have victory. And you can boldly look at it and say, "Now this is what I know. This right here is what I know. When I turn to God, I don't turn to any of these other things, but when I turn to God, I have victory." Have you noticed that my voice is pretty strong right now? 2 days ago, I couldn't get a word out. Yesterday, I couldn't hardly speak, and maybe the people around me enjoyed that. And probably did. But my voice is pretty strong right now. Why? Because now this I know. This I know. The Lord gives His anointed the victory. The victory that I needed was I needed healing for my throat. When I woke up this morning, was I hacking some stuff up? Yeah, I was hacking some stuff up. But when I got here this morning and I meditated on these things here, now this is what I know. He's given me victory. And the victory that I have is that by the stripes of Jesus, I have been made healed and whole. And so are you. The sermon title that I have here this morning is "Action Changes Everything." Jump in. Don't get head knowledge of the word. We can Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we're studying, and we're getting all this knowledge. We're getting all this built up in our minds. But if we don't jump in and do something about it, the Bible talks about in James, and we'll touch on this later, that your faith is dead. It won't accomplish anything if it's just, it becomes mental assent. Anybody heard that word, mental assent? I don't really care for that church lingo stuff. But anyway, it becomes mental assent because it's just in your head. But I'll tell you what, when you jump in, when you notice the three letters that, what we call them, acronym chickens here, ACT. Boy, she will never live that down. What's LPC? ACT, act. When you act, it changes everything. When you just look at it and you think about it and you stare at it and you study it, nothing happens. But when you act upon it, when you act upon the word, man, it changes everything. Amen. Carrie and I, we were back years ago, we went to Brazil with our two oldest kids and another girl that we know, which you wouldn't know, but anyway. Went to Brazil and on a missions trip. And we went down there and all kinds of different things happened. Our youngest daughter slept outside one night in a hammock. And when she woke up in the morning, they actually counted. She had over 100 mosquito bites. And people were talking about how, oh, mosquito bites, South America. Boy, she's going to get sick. She's going to have all kinds of issues, things like that. Not only did she not get sick, she didn't even itch. And the mosquito bites went away. But we did all kinds of things down there. We went out on the Amazon River. Where the Tapajós River and the Amazon meet is where they call the wetting of the waters. And you can actually see a line where those two waters come together. One is black and one is brown. You can see where it comes together. But we went out onto the Amazon. We're out in the villages. I caught a piranha while I was out there. I had a string and a hook and a piece of ham. And I dipped it into the water. All of a sudden, I got a bite. I pulled it up, and it's probably about that long, probably about that wide. And they got three rows of teeth, needlepoint teeth. And so I go down the line to try to take him off the hook. He starts coming up the line at my hand, and I dropped it, and he came off the hook. And I thought, you know what? It's the 100-year flood, and the only way to get, we're in this village, only way to get from hut to hut was by canoe. And so we're in a canoe going to this hut, and we're going to that hut over there. So I go to one of the huts, and I ask them if they want it because they eat the piranha. Like I said, he's probably about this big, probably about that wide, and they said, too small. Like that is how they eat piranha. So we were doing all kinds of things down there. We caught an alligator. I don't know, alligator or a crocodile. I don't remember what it is in the southern hemisphere. But we caught one of them, tied him up to a tree, and he's out splashing around all night, bring him up onto the steps of the church. So just so you know, out here on the steps of the church, and the villagers, they took a club and beat him to death. And then we had him for supper. But it was good. It was good. So we did a lot of things while we were down there. But one of the things we did when we were out there on the Amazon is everybody had been talking about, we're on the boat, going down the Amazon River, talking about swimming in the Amazon. And so we pull up to this one village, we get out at the dock, and we all get off the boat, and we're all just standing there on the dock. Everybody just kind of looking around at each other, and I remembered that conversation. We all had talked about jumping in the Amazon, going swimming in the Amazon. And at one point, we're all standing there, we're still discussing this, we're standing there, and I just kind of look around at him, and I'm like, okay. I took off running down the dock, and I dove into the Amazon River. Came back around, got up onto the dock, and everybody's looking at me, what in the world are you doing? I said, well, we talked about it. Well, you don't know what, there's unidentified species still floating around in that Amazon River there, and it's like, we talked about it, but I was the only one that acted upon it. Smart or not, I survived. But I was the only one who acted upon it. We talked about it, but I acted upon it. We talked about it, but I acted upon it. And I'll tell you what, after I dove into that Amazon River and I come back up and we start talking about it, they tell me how crazy I was for doing it. And we had talked about swimming in it. Not one person followed me into the Amazon. But that's okay. But we talked about it. I ran down the deck and did something about it. We can talk, we're going to talk about how to turn your faith loose here this morning. You can talk about the Word. I love to have Bible conversations. I would rather sit and talk to somebody about the Bible than, yes, more than disc golf. Okay. But yeah, I like to have Bible conversations. Talk about the Bible. But you know what? We can talk about it. And we can talk about it all day long. But until we actually do something about what we're talking about what we've gotten on the inside of us, what we've filled our heads with, until we do something about it, nothing changes. He's telling us to jump in. He's telling us to do something about it. He's telling us to act on what the Word of God has to say. You know, fear and doubt talks about it. When you're unsure, you can talk about it. But if there's any sort of doubt, if there's any sort of fear, you're not going to act upon it. We need to start figuring out that the Word of God, as and I'm talking about the church in general, that the Word of God is more true and is more real than anything that we've observed, anything that we've ever read in a book, anything that anybody has ever spoken to us. We need to realize that the Word of God is more true than anything. It may not seem like the situation is going to change. It may not seem like circumstances will change, but the Word of God is still true. And it's more true than your circumstance. I don't care where you find yourself out today financially, if you'll take the Word of God and say, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If I seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto me. If I give, it shall be given and given back unto me. If I tithe, if I give, that He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour a blessing out of me so much that I can't contain it. If those are the things that are coming out of your mouth, no matter what financial situation you find yourself in, all this blessing will flow in your life. And believe that it will. You got to believe it. Faith jumps in. Faith will jump in. Faith will act. In Mark chapter 5. Very familiar story. But that's one thing that I said early on. I never will say, well, I'm just preaching to the choir. Because a lot of times when people say that, they won't go ahead and say what it is that they were about ready to say. So me, I said this a couple of years ago, that phrase, preaching to the choir, that's the phrase that the devil came up with. Because he doesn't want you to continue speaking whatever it is that God wants you to speak to people. So you may have heard this, but I'm going along with what Peter said. Peter said, I'm going to keep on telling you, even though you know it, so that when I'm dead, what I told you will still be ringing in your ears. Amen. So we're going to look at Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It says, now a certain woman had had a flow of blood for 12 years. How many know that's a long time? And had suffered many things from many physicians. Can you imagine what the medical system was like back in this time? Yikes. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So she didn't have anything. She couldn't spend another dime. She had spent all that she had, and she was continuing to get worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came back, well, ooh. Not that she heard, oh, there's this guy named Jesus. When she heard about Jesus, she heard that Jesus was there. She already knew what Jesus could do. Otherwise, she wouldn't do what she was about ready to do. She already knew that Jesus was in the healing business. She already knew that Jesus was raising people from the dead. She already knew that Jesus was opening the eyes of the blind. She already knew these things. So it says here, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment, for she said, so she knew. And then she said, if only I may touch His clothes. And then she acted. She knew, she said, and she acted. It'll be back there in just a second. Action changes everything. What you do changes everything. It doesn't matter what you know. If you want to turn your faith loose, then you got to do something. Not that it's by works. That if I do enough things, God will be happy with me and God will bless me with whatever it is I need a blessing with. No, He's saying if you act upon my word, Oh, we could go into so many different verses right now. But if you act upon His word, He's obligated. Ooh, God is obligated. No, He's obligated to fulfill what it is He said He would do. So if you believe, like she said here, she heard about Jesus. She knew what He was capable of. She knew what He was doing. And then she said, ooh, what He said, what He's been doing, I'm gonna reach out. He's obligated. For she said, faith speaks, just so you know, faith will speak. For she said, if only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately. How many know that sometimes it's a process, but sometimes it's immediately? We looked at Mark 16 and 15 through 18. It says they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. How many know that recovery is a process? I have no problem with recovery because it's still a promise of God that if the hands are laid on the sick, they will recover. The healing power of God is still flowing through your body. But in some situations, it's immediately. And it says here, immediately the fountain of her blood for 12 years, all she had was gone. But it says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. She was healed of the affliction. She knew who Jesus was and what He was doing. She spoke out of her mouth what it is that she wanted. She acted upon that very same thing, and it was done for her. We can say, oh, that's a pretty simple formula. Yes, it is a pretty simple formula. But it's a formula that we have to believe with all of our heart. It has to be more true than what anybody is telling us. Because there will be plenty of people around here to tell you, well, your mom had it. I guess it's just your lot in life. No. I rebuke that. There's a thing in that has ran through our family. My brother right now, he's kind of dealing with it. It's called cerebral atrophy, to where you lose your balance, your speech. Speech. It becomes garbled up and you have a hard time understanding. I have a cousin that's dealing with this. I have an uncle who's dealing with this. My dad dealt with this. And they asked me if I was going to go get checked out. I said no, because it stops with me. I'm not dealing with this. You notice my feet are hanging over the edge of the stage here right now. Those people that I just named would not stand here like this. Matter of fact, they wouldn't put their foot out like that either. But it stops with me. Why? I believe who Jesus is and what He said. I confess it with my mouth. And I'm acting on it. And He's obligated to do what He said He would do. In verse 28, it says, for she said. What do you need to say? What's going on in your life right now? Whatever it is, figure out what the Word of God says about it. And then you say it. And if it tells you to do something, then you do it. If it tells you to stand there and stand firm and stand strong and stagger not, then don't stagger. Stagger not. Whew. In this verse here, the result of her doing what she did, believing what she believed, acting the way that she acted, she was made whole. And she knew it immediately. You notice that healing and feeling came after the believing and saying. You may believe and you may say, and you may not feel anything immediately, but you don't quit believing and you don't quit saying. You can pray the prayer of faith and believe that God has healed you, and then you just keep on thanking Him about that. Father, I just thank You that you said that by Your stripes that I'm healed. Father, I just thank You that You're no respecter of person. What You did for that person back then, You'll do for me today. Father, I thank You that I am healed and I am whole in the name of Jesus. Yes. Keep on praising Him. Action changes everything. Jump in. In Jeremiah chapter 1, faith in God has knowledge of the promise. How do you get knowledge of the promise? Through the Word of God. How is your faith increased? You don't pray for it. Oh, God, just increase my faith. No, you don't do that. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Get more of the Word inside of you. So that way when things come against you, you know what the Word says about that situation. Amen. The Bible says that you're going to encounter trials. You're going to encounter troubles in your life. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how mature you think you are as a Christian. You're going to encounter trials in your life. So you got to know what the promise is. Then you need to say the promise. You need to act on the promise, receive the promise. And God will show up. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it.'" So if he's watching over his word to perform it, when the word of God comes out of your mouth, he's ready to perform it. The Bible says that my word will go out. It won't return void. It'll accomplish what it was set to do. And matter of fact, it will prosper in all that it was sent to do. So if you're speaking the word of God out of your mouth, he's watching over that and he wants to do it. So whatever my situation is, I want the word of God to be the first thing that comes out of my mouth. Because if that's the case, he's watching. And he wants to perform whatever it is that his word has promised me. So I'm excited about that. My dad, when I was growing up, his word was gold. In a young kid growing up, his word was gold. If he says you're getting a whipping, you're getting a whipping. Now, Rick did not get very many whippings growing up. Some people say whippings, whoopings, whatever you want to call it. But Rick was a very obedient child. And my brother and sister will say to this day that I'm the favorite child. And I'm okay to embrace that. But I didn't get in trouble a lot growing up. Now, some of the other siblings may have gotten a little bit more trouble than I did. But my dad's word was go. If my dad told somebody in the community that he was going to do something, you can bank on it. Me, if I tell you that I'm going to do something, I will do it to my own hurt. Even if it costs me, if I've told you I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. Well, guess what? God's word is more true and more reliable than anybody's word that you know of. In Numbers 23:19, it says, "God's not a man," this New Living Translation. "God's not a man, so he doesn't lie." How many know man lies? Intentionally or unintentionally? Well, I don't think there's an unintentionally. But anyway, "God is not a man, so he doesn't lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Question mark. Has he ever promised and not carried through? Question mark. I can tell you in numerous places where I stood on his word, he made me a promise, and I stood on his word, and he came through. Anybody got a testimony that can speak to that very same thing? You stood on his word, and he came through. Why? Because he's watching over his word to perform it. And why? Because I took his word, and I jumped in. I acted upon it. It wasn't just head knowledge to me. I acted upon his word. So how do we turn our faith loose? Number one, know what his word says. If you don't know what his word says, you have nothing to turn your faith loose on. If you're trying to turn it loose on somebody's opinion, you're going to be in for a big letdown. So you got to know his word. Number two, believe that his word is true for you and that it's more true than anything else that you've ever encountered. It may go contrary to the things that other people have said to you. It may go contrary to what any book you've read may have said to you. It may seem like it's crazy to think that way. You mean give my money away? Just give my money away and God will give back to me? That doesn't make sense. Oh, I wish I had my phone here. I saw somebody had quoted something. I don't want to quote it right away, but catch up with me later. It's talking about giving money away. But believe His word. Believe that it's true. It's more true than anything else. So you got to know His word. You got to believe His word with all your heart. And then the third thing is, then you got to act upon His word. If you want to turn your faith loose, there has to be action that goes along with it. In James chapter 2, verse 18. And when you turn the word of God, when you act upon the word, when you're wanting to turn it loose and you act upon the word, I've said it before, He's responsible to honor His word. What did we just read? God's not a man, so He does not lie. He's not human, so He does not change His mind. Has He ever spoken and failed to act? Has He ever promised and not carried it through? No. The answer should be no. And so we can believe that when we speak His word, when we act upon His word, He watches over it to perform it. In James chapter 2, verse 18, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works and I will show you my faith by my works. Now we keep saying the word works, and that's kind of a bad word in religious circles. Just change that word to actions. And I'll show you my faith by my actions. You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe. The demons believe the word of God. And they shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? You can fill yourself up with the Bible. Now, I do 7 hours of Bible study every day. And that's good. Glad you do. Just so you know, I don't do 7 hours of Bible study every day. They didn't catch that on live stream because I whispered. You can do 7 hours of Bible study every day, but if you don't act upon the thing that you've studied, it's useless. Other than you can quote off a bunch of Bible verses that maybe nobody else can. But when I trust in the Lord with all my heart and I act upon His word, He watches over it to perform it. When I do what He's called me to do, He'll honor the things that He's promised me. And I don't have to wonder whether He's going to come through or not, because He said that He would. In Romans 1:17, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Live by faith. Now, when I looked up the word shall one time, one of the definitions for the word shall, and I'm going to read it this way here. For then it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just must live by faith. So a definition to the word shall is the word must. So if you're a believer, you're to live by faith. And to live by faith is contrary a lot of times to the things that the world tries to tell you. And to live by faith means that you're going to act upon what the Word of God says, even though it might seem crazy. It might seem weird to a lot of different people. In 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So if we're walking, what's that imply? That implies action. That implies movement. As I wrote here, it signifies one's conduct or way of life in accordance with God's commandments and principle. It's a way of life. So if we're walking by faith, it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by what the Word of God has to say. Not by what we see, not by what we experience. Well, experience tells me, well, if it's contrary to the Word of God, then your experience is a lie. Ouch. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. See if we can erase that from the live stream. But anyway, no, I don't want to erase that. They're showing me an eraser back there. Yeah, it doesn't work like that, just so you know. No, if your experience is contrary to the Word of God, then your experience is false. So, if you want to turn your faith loose, then you find out what the Word of God says, you believe it with all of your heart, and then you do what it says. You act upon what it says. You don't just keep it in here. You act upon it. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, everything that you encounter, everything that you go through, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Turn to Him first. I know there's decisions that we've had to make over the last week. There's decisions that we're making for this coming summer. There's decisions we're making for later in this year. Before we make those decisions that could affect the rest of our lives, have we acknowledged Him first? Have we turned to Him first? That's part of the action. That's part of turning your faith loose, is acknowledging Him, getting His opinion on what it is that you plan for whatever your future holds for you, getting His opinion on it first. And He may say, yeah, go for it, man. That's great. You'll love that. But if you acknowledge Him first, if you take that action in acknowledging Him first, action will change everything. He may say, no, I got a better way for you to go. That'll be much more beneficial to you than the current way that you're going. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and act on what He says. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. Oh boy, if you acknowledge Him, He says, I want to direct your path. I want to show you which direction to go. Because if you go the way that He wants you to go, you act the way that He wants you to act, you thought it was going to be good? It'll be great if you acknowledge Him in all your ways. How many know that there was a storm on Friday night? Did the storm come close to anybody's house? Where was I during the storm? In my garage with the door open, sitting in a lawn chair, watching it come in. As the news guy is saying, get to your safety sheltered place. Well, I was at my garage door watching the storm come in until the rain started blowing into the garage and I was getting all wet and I just shut the door. But I began to exercise my faith. The weatherman was saying this, it's in Neoga, it's over in Coles County, it's over by Lerna, it's at the airport, it's coming toward Charleston. And they were showing pictures of Charleston on the video there, all these different things. He was saying all these things, what the natural was telling us, and, you know, go to your safe place if you need to go to a safe place, that's fine. But all these natural things were speaking negatively about what was going on. Well, what was I doing there? I began putting my faith into action. I began turning my faith loose. I started praying for Carrie and I. I started praying for y'all. I started praying for our property. I started praying for all y'all's property. I started praying for the church building and the property here. I don't know if any of you had a bunch of damage to your property or not, but I was believing that you wouldn't. And so I was exercising my faith. I took action. Action changes things. Action changes everything. So jump in. We're out at Rhema here not too many years ago. And the tornado, Mrs. Hagen, she's known for this. A tornado's coming. How many know Oklahoma has tornadoes? Once in a while. Had a few while we were out there. But a tornado is coming straight toward the NRC, the Nanowski Recreational Center. It was coming toward the NRC. And they just stood in faith. They acted upon their faith. And when that tornado, which was coming straight to the NRC, gets almost to it, rises up in the air, goes over Rhema's property, comes down on the other side. Now, it didn't damage a bunch of stuff going through the area there, because they're not saying, you know, avoid our property, but smash everybody else's. You know, they're not believing like that. But just the fact that when we exercise our faith, we put it into action, it changes everything. It'll change your life. I don't know if I feel like I'm hitting a little bit of a wall here, but what I'm trying to say is that when you put God's word to work, it'll work on your behalf. I'm going to land this plane here in about 3 or 4 minutes. But when I was praying that, the 91st Psalm came to me. In Psalm 91, verse 4, we can take the word and believe it and then act upon it. It says, He will cover you with His feathers. He will shelter you with His wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Verse 11, for He will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. Verse 12, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. And verse 16, I will reward them, you, all of us, I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. Long life, protection, shelter, it's yours. When you act upon the word, when you exercise your faith, it is yours. Oh, man, we got another week or two of this. But anyway, let's move forward here. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20, we have Abraham. In verse 20 it says, He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He stood strong in faith, believing the promise. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded, he was fully persuaded by what God told him, he was fully persuaded. What God has told us in His Word, we should be fully persuaded. There should never be a doubt when it comes to the Word of God. When God speaks something in His Word, we should never doubt what He says. We should be fully persuaded. And we should have a bunch of people in this room. We can change your name. We can change your title to you are a bunch of stagger knots. You stagger not at whatever the situation is that comes against you. Because you have what it takes to overcome that situation. You have promises from the Word of God that you can speak, that you can act upon, so that when that situation, that circumstance comes against you, it has to be uprooted and be cast into the sea. Whatsoever things you pray, ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That's a promise from the Word of God. So if that's the case, if that's a promise from the Word of God, then act upon it. Asking is a part of action. Standing is action. Believing is action. All those different things. Stand on the Word of God. Don't let your circumstance dictate what it is that you're, what your situation is going to be. You speak to your circumstance. You act on the Word of God against your circumstance, and it changes everything. But you got to jump in. You can't hold back. You can't be timid. If you were shy before, quit it. I was shy. I've told you before. I was probably more shy than anybody in this room. I used to hide under kitchen tables. When Carrie and I got married and I'm 30-some years old, she's doing all the talking. Because I was shy. I told a lady one time, I'm not just going to tell this to anybody. This doesn't apply to anybody in this room, but I told this one lady one time because I knew that I could. I said, get over yourself. Well, I'm just shy. I can't speak out. You know what? Especially in this place here, this is a safe place. If you've got an opinion, express your opinion. If you've got something to say, if you know a joke, tell a joke. We might not laugh at it. I had a friend of mine who told jokes. He was the only one who laughed at it, and he laughed hysterically at his jokes. They were not funny. But you know what? He was the best man at my wedding. I was 20 years old. He was 62 years old. He was the best man at my wedding. I loved spending time with him. We used to listen to, anybody know what 33-speed albums are? Vinyls? I think they're making a comeback, but not too many people. He would play these albums, which I thought was some of the worst music I'd ever heard in my life, but I would sit there for hours with him, listening to him tell jokes and listening to him play those records. We are going to talk about this another week, just not next week. I'm just saying we need some, yeah, maybe. I'm just saying we need some stagger knots in this place. We need, not just this place, but the church world itself. We need some stagger knots. People who will take the promises of God, believe them, receive them, believe that they're for them today, and then do something about it. But the only way that you're going to do that, and I will harp on this, not really harp, but I will talk about this until I'm in the ground. You got to have the Word of God in front of your face to know what the promises are. And if you got the Word of God in front of your face and you know what the promises of God are for your life, you can live a victorious, blessed life, spirit, soul, and body. Every area of your life will be blessed. A lot of people, when they talk about blessing, they think it's only financial. Man, I want to be blessed emotionally. I want to be blessed, you know, spiritually. But the way that I do it is know what God's promises are for me. Father, we just thank you here this morning that you've been in this place. Father, I thank you that we're not doing church as usual anymore. We're not doing normal church anymore. Father, we want to be led by your Spirit to do the things and say the things and be who it is that you want us to be. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that it's true. And I thank you that as we act upon your word, as we ACT your word, changes everything. So, Father, as we are faced with situations this next week, which we will be, the things that your word says, the things that your the word that we had planted on the inside of us, Father, you said that your Holy Spirit would cause to bring those things to our remembrance. And when it does, when he does, that we speak them and we act upon them. And Father, we know that when we do, you honor your word. You are watching over your word to perform it. And it'll change everything.